Precious Heavenly Father, we bless the holy name today, O Lord, for your grace that you have given us to behold the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in your very word of life, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you have quickened our life and our spirit and our souls, O Lord, to be able to see this great salvation, this great plan that you have for mankind, and that we can be a part of you, Lord, when we come to you. So we thank you, Lord, that you give us this life, and even now as we approach thy word of little understanding, once again to recall to memory, we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to turn to the book of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and I want to touch on this. What is the message of the hour issue? Alright, go to the book of Malachi. And we want to look into it and see why there is no difficulty for us to really understand the very word of God as to what the message is. Alright, Malachi 4, 5 and 6 here is the last two verses of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, a simple verse like this, and always been a question by denomination. The denomination always asks the question, how can you people believe that this text has anything to do with William Marion Branham? After all, this is the book of the Jew. It's a Old Testament prophetic book, and all these books in the Old Testament, 39 books, they were all actually written by Jew for the Jew, and the prophet was for the Jew. So what has William Branham, a Gentile prophet, anything to do with this text? And so it is a good question, though, and yet we find that these two verses ended the Old Testament before it carried into the New Testament, before the New Testament come out, before the grace came. And we want to say this, that when Malachi, the last prophet, closes up with his book, it takes about another 300 years, because there was about 300 years of silence. God's voice wasn't heard anymore until John the Baptist came. And we know that John the Baptist came. When he came, Jesus said he was the last of the prophets. The Lord, the prophet, one to John. Jesus said that. Because he was the last of the Old Testament type prophet that came to introduce something new. It brings in something new, and if we don't see that, then we don't really understand what this word has to do with the church. First of all, we look into this text. I might carry this to next week. I want to really enlarge a little bit on this. If we are examining this text here closely, it says that in the whole chapter, we look at the whole chapter of 4, so we can have a heading and understanding why this verse was spoken. Verse 1 says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that come shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow as the calf of the stock. And you shall treat down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the Lord of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statute and judgments. Now, so with this we realize that Malachi ended with proclaiming what was to come for the children of Israel. Alright, the day that will come, and it says that the day that is coming for the children of Israel will be such a time that there will be a lot of suffering. There are a lot of wickedness will be going on. All right? And there will be a time when there will be tribulation and some destruction and judgment will come upon the children of Israel, upon the land. And so unto you, it's not talking to the Gentile. Remember, all this was talking to the Jew. The Son of Righteousness shall come with healing in his wing. That's of course referring to none other than, you know, speaking figuratively of Jesus Christ who shall come. Who will grow up as a cover of the stock, and so shall we all right, also grow with him. I mean, for those that believe in him. Okay. And then here is in verse 3, it says, you shall treat down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That is going all the way into the millennium, into the tribulation, into the millennium. Alright, where Christ will come in the battle of Armageddon and then bring forth his kingdom. And that's why they were told to remember the Lord of Moses. And then in verse 5 it says, behold, I send a legend of prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now here is the two words, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Alright, great day and the dreadful day, you combine them together. Now, people in the end time message separately. Now we need to understand typing. We need to understand that the verse has only one meaning. Scripture has only one meaning. But you can see that there is still a compound. It is a compound prophecy that underlies something. First of all, it says, behold, I will send Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This verse speaks of only one day. And that day is the coming of the great tribulation day. When God said, I will send you Elijah the prophet, he will come in the great and dreadful day. Why is it called a great and dreadful day? Because it will be so dreadful, but yet a great day, because God, the people are going to see the miracles being performed by Elijah together with the other witnesses, one of the other witnesses, two witnesses, that is Moses. And then at the end of the tribulation, of the 70th week of Daniel, then Christ will come. And it will be a great day for them. So it's compounded together as to what was coming for the children of Israel. Because if you read verse 1 downward to verse 4, you realize it's talking about that terrible day that is to come. Alright? But also, when we look at it, we realize then that when he said the next verse, that there appears to be two coming. Alright? It says here that in verse 6, and now he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the father, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. So here we see something here, a statement that we all know well enough, that we can find a part of it in Luke chapter 1. Now when we analyze it, we can see why God hides truth from the people. Alright, when we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 17 I believe, alright, go to Luke chapter 1. Alright, and we see verse 17. Or we will say go to 13, verse 13 first. Here is the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And Mary of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go forth with him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make many a people prepared for the Lord. Now here we see that a part of what we see in Malachi 4 verse 6 is here in this verse. Right? And many are in other places where the disciples asked Jesus Christ, when they asked, didn't it say in the scripture that Elijah must come first? Jesus Christ said, Elijah shall first surely come. You know, but Elijah has come already, and they have done unto him something bad, you know. So when we look into all those other verses, we realize that John the Baptist was indeed fulfilling the first part of Malachi 4:6. Because this verse 17 here in Luke, he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children. Exactly as the angel quoted Malachi 4:6. Is that right? But the angel did not quote the second part of Malachi 4:6. Okay? So now we have this question, and like my friend Peter used, you know, would challenge me, reject this and that. So a lot of questions trying to find loopholes in our understanding of Scripture. It says here, the disobedience to the wisdom of the just is the same as turning the hearts of the children to the Father in Malachi 4:6. Can you equate that? How can you equate that? How can you equate? You know what Malachi 4:6 says, right? So turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now, if you look at me from that, your direction is from left to right. So turn the heart of the father to the children. And the heart of the children to the father. Is that right? Now, when you look at that, that is Malachi prophesied. But here, the angel told Zechariah, John's father, that he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the child. You cannot say, but they are trying to equate, that the disobedient are the children. Okay? The wisdom of the just is the father. That's pretty good, eh? Pretty clever to equate like this, because after all, they want to make their doctrine stick, and they will change that. Right. But if you go one verse, verse 16, here the angel told the father, said, and many of the children of Israel, now, said, many of the children of Israel, it's a common word, the children of Israel. After all those descend from Israel are children of Israel. Isn't that right? Isn't it so? But then he goes down to the next verse 17. He's talking about turning what? The hearts. And truly, when you talk about the hearts, that's why in Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, what has this chapter of Malachi 4, 5 and 6 to do with the church? It is because it's dealing with the human heart. It's dealing with our heart. That's why here the church must be considered. Not that the church was here, or let's just say, well, they say, what has William Branham to do with this verse? Okay? The reason why he has to do this verse is because, first of all, it's the spirit of Elijah that's being dealt with here. And secondly, the key word to this verse to understand is the heart. Because already we know that in the Old Testament, God wrote His words on tablets of stones. Is that right? Isn't it true? But what good is having all those words of God, the law and the commandment of God written on tablets of stone, when the people can do try to fulfill it, to keep the law the best they can, go through all these ordinances, keep the rituals, sacrifices, but yet they do it the same every time. They're still committing sin and still going through the same old thing over again. Because why? The law or the words was never in their heart. That's not why. The same thing with this Bible that you have in your hand. They are just like the Word of God on tablets of stone. It's only on paper this time. But God wants to write this word in your heart. So that makes the difference. So John the Baptist came. What did he do? He preached. What did he preach? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel means good news. That's what gospel means, huh? Good news. You see. So he is giving them. Now, John the Baptist didn't bring any
commandment.
A set of commandment or something like laws to them anymore. God didn't send any prophet concerning about the law and give them the law. Because John the Baptist came right now, not preaching the law, but preaching the gospel, telling the people to repent, because there is coming a man who, or the Lamb of God, that will take away their sin. So now God is dealing with the heart. You see? All you have to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. And if you really repent and truly repent, that's why John the Baptist will baptize you. You understand that? You know. The baptism of unto repentance. That's what it is. Truly that they said, yes, I have sinned. Yeah. So this gospel is God giving man a way to escape, a way out of their sinning state. Because John is going to point to the Lamb of God. He's going to introduce the Messiah. You see. And that is the first thing we need to understand now. I want you to remember the importance of following the Word of God. Sometimes you wonder, why must God send John the Baptist? Why not just forget about John the Baptist and just let Jesus Christ come preaching? Isn't it? Why must there be a man? You know what a prophet is? Prophets, if you actually look into one, by the way, prophets are the confirmations of God's word. They come and testify the truth and they confirm it. In the New Testament, that is how it works. You know, that's why the prophets are prophesied too. They confirm the revelation of truth, and that's why the Bible in the New Testament book of Ephesians, it says that the church of the living God is built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. There is the fivefold ministry of the first two, apostles and the prophet. Why the prophet? When you only see that the 12 foundations are all apostles. Because what we have is the prophet that comes in second. They are the confirmation, or they confirm by prophecy what revelation the apostle preached to be true. You know. Do you understand? So when we look into what we see here in Malachi, we realize then that Brother Branham has something to do with it here. And the church has something to do with it here. And the church means there is only one, whether you are Jew or you are Gentile. And because there is only one gospel, it was given to the Jew first, and because the Jew rejected what Paul gave, because God wanted them to move on away from just being so ritualistic and so traditional in their, you know, still Jewish and Judaism. That's what we have today, what we call Messianic Jew. They believe Jesus Christ, yet they still hold to the law of keeping the Sabbath and this and certain ritual. You know. Do you understand that? And that's why, yeah, God couldn't give them more understanding as long as the mind is stayed on tradition, too much on the man, Jesus Christ, the flesh. God can't reveal anything to them. So how can God reveal any more things to the Branhamite? But all that is, Brother Branham, my Brother Branham, my prophet. God can't show you anything. Because you're looking at the flesh of man, you're looking at the man. Why do we sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus"? Why don't they sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Branham"? After all, they quote so much about Brother Branham. You know, Brother Batsy, when I was with him on that first day, and there was a pastor, they called him up to want to talk to him. And this pastor was an associate pastor of his pastor, of the church that he was with when he before he left. So, you know, Varabhasi, being a very gentleman, courteous, he talked to the pastor and wrote him a letter, explained to him why he's leaving the church. You know, it's about how the word was handled. And of course, the pastor and of the church and the deacon, well, how they talk with him, and then nothing else is beyond that. And so, when this associate pastor found out after so many weeks later that he wasn't in that church, felt that he was concerned to come and talk to him to try to get him back to the church. So, we went to meet him, and for almost 3 hours, we sat there in his office, and apparently he doesn't know who I am, you know, a lot of people, they don't care about any other preacher except everything about concerning Brother Branham. So I sat there, and he was talking to Brother Bhatsi, trying to convince him to go back, that you should go back to your pastor. You know, he was saying that you were baptized by a pastor. You should not leave the church just like that over some problem. But the problem was not something. It's about who is the absolute. You know. And he had the way of explaining. And for almost 3 hours, on his table, there were books of Brother Branham. And only two times did he quote the scripture. Other than that, he will quote from this book, and he had such a memory where to find the quotes. Unbelievable. He knows the quotes of Abraham so well. If I would tell you, look into the Bible, or do you remember this verse? Some of us may not remember. If you don't read the Bible off, and if I would ask you, remember where Abraham preached or said on this statement, I guess many of us don't. But he will be trying to find, and he is able to find, and he has paper that has quotes on it, and his the spoken word book has a lot of underlined quotes and everything written on it. He studied the books of Brother Ben, and he knew it like scriptures. And he was trying to explain to him, you know, that God said that Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. So he said it's the same, like if you believe in God, believe also in Brother Branham. If you believe in God, believe also in your pastor. Because why? When Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me, he is in the state of God. And the same thing, if you believe in God, believe probably in the state of God. And the same thing with the pastor. And then he called Brother Branham, saying that when the pastor is in the pulpit, he is the angel of God, he is the messenger of God. I mean, you called Brother Branham completely out of context. Because Brother Branham just trying to illustrate something. Yeah, the pastor is a messenger, but doesn't mean that you believe in God, believe in him, in everything as being absolute. Can it? You see, for almost 3 hours, we hear him spoke, and when we speak, we only speak about 10% of the nearly 3 hours he spoke 90% of the time. And after when we left, I said, Brother Bessie, it's a waste of time. You see. So you can just see that spirit of people who knows everything about God's prophet and nothing about Christ deeply, really, the truth that he preached. If you want to know more about Christ, it's in the Word, in the Bible. You look at the Old Testament prophet. Those prophets are of Christ. They don't point to himself. They don't point to themselves. Problem never point to himself. But the way they present it, it seems the Brother Branham point to himself. And that's what scares me. It's so sad. That's why even my brother Siri, Each time he said, I come home, Brother Dan. I look at a picture, oh, my prophet, oh, my prophet, Brother Bram. And I said, he was wrong, and we were laughing too. He said, yeah, now I think about it, how funny it is. You know, yes. You see. And there is always, when we went to that church, you know, to meet the pastor who was trying to bring, to try to get Brother Bachi to go back, we see always three pictures that is always very commonly seen in many of these randomized churches. A picture of Brother Brown with the halo, the mysterious crowd, and Hoffman hit Christ. They must hang it there in the church building. Now you might want to hang three pictures of Brother, those three pictures right here. What is the use of me even hanging a picture of the Hoffman head of Christ in the church building or in a place of fellowship? It may be all right to put it on the outside, you know, not in the place where we fellowship. Because we're looking at a picture. And the imagery. That's why when you pray, what do you have an imagery conjured up in your mind about how Christ looked like when you pray? Do you? If you do, you have a problem. Because you cannot conjure up mind. Oh, now the Hoffman heads of Christ and you worship Jesus Christ having that imagery in your mind. And if I have the picture of Brother Branham here and the supernatural cloud and you sit there, I mean, if we are fanatics, to us it's okay. But if a stranger came in, what would they think? If a stranger came in, what would they think? You know? You see, the idolatrous spirit. The church today are doing the same thing like Israel did. Not just anti-message churches. But those out there in denomination, likewise the same. No difference. Only their idol is something else. Money, popularity, woman, and the things that are going on. Yes? And it's very common to know that even in anti-message churches, minister, they can say one thing in the pulpit, they look very clean, but when they go home, they get drunk. They smoked behind your back. And the same thing, you are here, look very nice to me. When you go home, the whole of the rest of the week, I don't know what you do. Is that alright? But only God sees us. You know. So we have to be a light that is true, but not just a light that when we want to light up, we light up. When we don't want to light up, we dim it down. God forbids that. You know. So when we look into this, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, now we realize that it is about the church, it's not about the Gentile. Because when you talk about dealing with the heart, God deal with Israel, and then he turned to the Gentile. He gave the oracles to the Jew. He gave laws to the Jew. He gave all the ordinance to the Jew. He gave the gospel to the Jew. And he blinded them. And he turned to the Gentile. And bring the Gentile to the same gospel. And in the same gospel, he put his word in the Gentile's heart and believe. Is that right? So that's all we have to do with this verse. Denomination said, no, it's all nothing but the Jew. That's why it's compounded. That's why Jesus said, yes, Elijah truly shall first come, but he has come already. And they've done unto him. You know, what they did to him. You know, what those people have done to Jaws. Yes? He shall come, but he has come already. And there is an Elijah. After John the Baptist gone, now if the children, the church started, and they look forward. That's it. The early church started and they look forward. And they can say the same thing. Elijah shall surely come. Who were they looking to? Not Brother Branham. They were looking to who? Okay, go to the book of Acts. Alright, Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be brought out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Huh? You see verse 21? Heaven must receive. Whomever must receive, referring to Jesus Christ, until the time of restitution of all things. So what is that pointing to? What was Peter talking about? He's pointing to the Elijah that must first come and restore all things. Huh? Do you understand? Before Jesus comes. And that's why there will have to appear two witnesses as we see in the book of Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses. And by the miracles, by the work they have done, shown in that chapter, we can see that those two witnesses came in the power of the spirit of Elijah as well as Moses. Why Moses was not mentioned? Behold, our son of Moses. And he said, turn the heart of the father and the heart of the children. Why not Moses? Because Moses is the law. Elijah is grace. It's the grace that restores all things to the people. So that's why when we see what Peter was talking about, he wasn't talking about the seven church age messenger. No. He was talking about the Jewish, their own kind. Because when Peter was standing there preaching, no Gentile yet was saved. Giving context of the thoughts. And if we don't, then we get lost. We can simply take a verse here and there, so puzzle up something with a cow eating grass on the top of the tree. And that wouldn't do. Huh? If a cow could talk in the puzzle, he said, wonder how come I'm on top of a tree eating grass. See? So when we look at it, we realize that, but here in Malachi 4:5, it's dealing with the heart. So if John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1:17 was to turn the heart of the father to the children, then there must come a man who also deal within the condition of the heart to turn the heart of the children back to the father. Still concerning the heart. Then we split up in verse 5. Behold, I sent Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great day of the Lord and before the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord. If we want to split that up. So the great day will be when John introduced the great day of the gospel that came. Yeah, you can say that. Fine. Now, remember, these are just only breaking up to show some picture. But the real interpretation is not that by scripture. So when is the dreadful day? The dreadful day is the great tribulation days to come. Isn't it? So before the great tribulation come, God will have to send the other Elijah, William Branham, to get the bride out of the system so that they would not be a part and parcels of
all God's wrath being poured out upon the system. Do you see what I'm talking about?
You can look at it as a compound prophecy here.
Right?
So now, let us go to Revelation 10, 7. Revelation 10, 7. Now, Revelation 10, 7, I just love Revelation 10. If you cannot see Revelation 10 in the light of God's word properly, you'll get messed up. Revelation 10, 7, it's, there's so much argument over the mystery of God. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophet. Now, a lot of people don't read the last part. Huh? They say, the voice, the days of the voice of the angel, when he begins to sound, that is Brother Branham, the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be finished, or should be finished. Then they don't read the rest of it. The mystery, not mysteries, singular, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Who are these servants, the prophets? It's all in the Old Testament. But I have heard preacher how they take this verse and they read it like this. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servant, the prophet. Meaning Brother Branham. People can just take the word. Remember one thing, what Paul said to Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. In breath of God. So the words, when it's plural in that form, don't change it to something else. What we talk about, had you declared to his servants, declared to his servants the prophet, it means we look at it, it means the Old Testament. They have declared it. God had declared to them and they prophesied. So how come you put these into singular and put it in the Brother Branham? You are distorting the word. Just like denomination. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God, and the Word was Jesus. You can't do that. See? Alright. Now, what is the message? Define the message. Why, SMSU, a message. Nowadays we SMS a message. And what is a message? If a message contains something. A message contains information. Isn't it not? It contains instruction. Is it not true? It's a communication of something. That's what a message is about. A boyfriend texts to the girl, SMS, a message. And what is the message? The mother probably looked into the daughter's cell phone and see, this boy says, I love you. So that's the message. Now, you see? You understand what I'm saying? Whether it's a letter, whether it's an email, you send a message, it's an information. So, here we see in the day the voice of seven angels shall begin to sound, the voice of the seven angel. When he began to sound, I mean he must be given us a message. Not messages. A message. A message could be 20 paragraph, 100 paragraph, but still a message, not messages. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, I want to really make you all see this because I don't know how come it's so difficult, just the brother Siri is saying. You know, he with little knowledge is difficult for him. That is true. It's because why? Believers like him who are caught up in Brahmanism will never have any more knowledge than what they hear from this preacher. And they are not guided by the preacher to look at the Word of God, to look at it and see it the way it should be. Every one of them are interpreting what Brother Branham said, in their opinion what Brother Branham said. And that's how sad it is. Say what the tape says doesn't mean that you are actually saying what it meant. Just the same thing when people took John chapter 1 verse 1 and said the word was Jesus. They changed it. You cannot interpret words like that. The brother in front was telling us on Friday, asking me a question on the way out. When he read Barham's book, Doing God a Service Without Being God's Will. How the Barham was saying that you don't do it until you get it from the prophet or the pastor, right? But you see, the brother in front, he's learning. So he asked the question. Now the thing is that as individual Christian, we all have instruction in the Bible that we are all witnesses. So you witness wherever you are, witness for Christ. But as far as the ministry is concerned, you cannot run around without it being God's will. If God did not call you to be an evangelist, don't try to be one. If God did not call you to be a prophet, don't try to be one. If He didn't tell you to be a pastor, don't try to be one. And if you want to be an elder, then you have to be God's will. That's why the apostle ministry, the church, alright, being that the elder and the deacon, a secondary ministry must come under the authority of the fivefold ministry, and they will ordain them to the ministry. You see. And if a member of a fellowship wanted to start a little fellowship in the house, you cannot just simply start it quietly without the pastor's knowledge. And say, I'm doing it because I feel that of God. Then being that you are part of the church, you need to let the pastor know. You cannot just doing it without following the plan and the purpose of God as being a family of God. That we are all responsible to each other. That we need to relate to the head. The hand cannot do something and say, I don't let the rest of the body know. Then that hand will be cut off to do whatever you want. That's the reason why Brahman preached on that, because there are people that are just running around doing God a service and thinking it was God and the mess that they have brought in the end time. It doesn't matter how thin the denomination. Everybody wants to do God a service. That's how I told her. A pastor here, I said, did God ordain you? Did God call you? I said, God, no, brother, again, it's personal between God and me. It's kind of a lot funny, isn't it? It's between God and me. Even you, there's no responsibility. I said, if God call you, then just say, yes, God call me. You don't have to be saying, it's between God and me. It's personal. How can it be personal? When Paul even said, I am the apostle of God. That's why for years I don't want to tell, I don't want to give out my testimony. Because people will not understand the whole thing. I wanted to wait and say, Lord, I don't know, I just don't want to let anybody know my calling. I have to prove my calling. And come the time when God says, now is the time for you to give a testimony. You cannot keep it anymore. But if you are not called of God, you feel like, oh, I feel led to do something for God. Good. Then learn. Otherwise, you're running around without a message, without God's will. Do you understand what I mean? Yes? And you look at Matthew chapter 7 closely. Matthew chapter 7, a well-known verse or text there, and yet we have a lot of preachers, it seems that they don't seem to know this chapter. Chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Three verses of scripture. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. You know, we have a lot of preachers out there, especially in Africa. You know what I heard? What I learned lately? That now Zimbabwe is filled with a lot of charismatic preachers now. Used to be the great country in Africa, the country that had the great what we call charismatic churches are found in Nigeria and perhaps then Ghana. But the Nigerians have went down to Zimbabwe. And now it seems that a lot of people are going to these charismatic churches. The Nigerians out there influencing the people. You know, people, the simple-minded people, they want to know something religious. They want to contact God, and these guys out there, their intention is the money. They go out there to deceive these poor people of their money. If you can build a church, what I heard, the Joseph Prince Church has 21,000 people. If I'm not mistaken, the newspaper reported. City Harvest comes second. Huh? No? City Harvest first. Had the biggest, is it? I don't know which is where. I thought the Joseph Prince has the biggest. But anyway, the thing is this. If you go to a poor country like Zimbabwe, if you have 10,000 people, poor people, even how small the amount of money they give it to you will come to a lot. All you do is just keep preaching. Give unto God and God will bless you. You keep telling them. And you show them the scripture verses. What God said, give. And God will give you unto you. Press down. Multiply. And people, of course, want to invest. Isn't it so, Brother John? So every time the priest is small people, no matter how small amount they can give. Oh, maybe they could give you 10 cents. But now he said, more you give, the more the Lord will give you back in return. So now 10 cents to 20 cents, maybe to 50 cents. When you have 10,000 people, that's a whole lot of money. And what the Bible said here? And it's just like Korah and Balaam. All they go after is the filthy lucre. And here is these people, they say, Lord, I have done such mighty works in your kingdom. I've healed the sick, I've cast out demons. I bring many people to Jesus Christ. Many of them were blessed. In your name I preached the gospel. What gospel did you preach? Yes. And yet Jesus said, I never knew you. You see, that's what we have, the false anointed one at the end time. Huh? You can see a lot of people can really preach the gospel. And many of them turn out to be, after the, on they go to the church, the preacher. They come up to the pulpit like they are so sinly. And after that it's over, something else happened. That's what it is. God says, I never, Jesus said, I never knew. Depart from me. You work, you that work iniquity. You know what is iniquity? Iniquity is unbelief, it's sin. You really don't believe. And so Brother Bram made the same simple statement. You say if you don't follow the instruction, then you don't believe. If you believe, follow the instruction. Follow the instruction. And that's the message. What instruction did he give? Come on, the Hermite people. Right? Come up from among her. You're supposed to come out. Get up from the system. It's just a simple, straightforward message. Right? But what do the people do with it? They follow the man. Oh, but didn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ, when he told that to Timothy? Yes. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What does it mean? Follow my example. Follow the way I live my life. And what was Paul's life like? He searched the scripture. And so would Timothy do the same. He said, to those brilliant, that these are wise. Because they search out, but though those things I taught be true. But what about these days of people who follow Brother Branham? Did they follow Christ? As Brother Branham followed Christ? Not at all. A whole lot of foolishness. Brother Branham had only the Bible. He said, that's my absolute. Huh? But the people is putting his word above the Bible. And that's why we have a lot of this confusion. So in the message, just so simple. Information is given, instruction is given, we have to do is just to follow. In closing, I want to say this. We have 6,000 years of history of mankind that God deal with many. From the dead of Adam until this present day, we are almost 6,000 years. And as we all know, God always works in three. Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism. Right? We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dispensation. Adam, he was father of mankind. Huh? The Bible did not say that he was the father of all living. He's the father of mankind. Now, you are not animal kind, eh? Because all the animal kind, all the serpents were destroyed in the flood, remember? So, we came from Seth. From Seth to Adam. That's mankind. Right? Okay? But Eve is the mother of all living. You understand that? That includes because we are mixed. Mankind has, because we are not animal kind, we are not serpent kind. Adam, the father, almost 2,000 years later, about, then we have God called Abraham. Abraham was the father of Israel. But he was also the father of our faith. So Adam, the father, to Abraham, the father that was chosen, about 2,000 years. Adam gave birth, not Adam, Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac the son. Right? He was the promised seed, physical, of the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is the type of the church as well. There's natural Israel, we are the spiritual Israel. So Abraham the father gave birth to Isaac. Later on, he had Jacob, who became Israel. From that nation, you see, the son, until Jesus Christ came, is 2,000 years too, about. So now you have the son. Father to father, son. Then son to son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Prince of God. And that's what the name Israel represents. So, Jesus, the Son of God, came. As Abraham was given the promise, so was God given to us, the Son of God. Then the Son of God ascended to heaven. He said, I will send you another comforter. And that which was given to us is the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit coming, to Him being taken out of the way, so that the Son of Man, or the Son of Perdition, will be manifest, will be 2,000 years. 2,000 years of the Father dispensation, 2,000 years of the Son's dispensation, and 2,000 years of the Spirit dispensation. Are you following me now? Huh? God dealt with Adam and all that which came along. The mixing of the seed until God called Abraham and dealt with the nation of people. No longer with the mankind as a group, but with the nation of chosen people. Then after that, the third dispensation is the Spirit dealing with a chosen people who is spiritual minded. 2,000 years. Now we are right at the end of it. We are particularly well past the 2,000 years. How many more years can we go on? How many more years, Lord, will you drag the time? I wonder. If by the year 2018, if Israel don't get back what they get back, or Israel don't even receive their true prophet, then we are still going on. And I don't know, what are we looking at? Huh? We are right at the end. And with all the problem that is on the horizon, those signs are getting, you know, the cup is overflowing, so to speak. It cannot contain anymore. It rises to its brim and overflowing. Sins of mankind, I talked about it in the 70s, about the anarchy that comes upon nations. And you're watching, you're seeing it now. Huh? If the law is not there to control, we have in Singapore, we have a law. Even of course you want to protest, protest peacefully. And you get off the line, you get in trouble. You see the protest in Hong Kong? It drag on. You can get out of control if it's, the law doesn't come in. But you have all those, they're fighting for democracy over there in Hong Kong. America, they are democratic. Europe, they are democratic, so to speak, too. England, likewise, the same. When there is no socialism, you have a mess. But American people think that socialism is communism. Some of them have that idea. And so what happened right there in all this country? And they are affecting other countries too. Terrorism on the right. America caused it. Let it be blamed. Now it's backfiring on them. And it won't be long that the six visions, or the seventh vision of Brother Branham, the sixth vision is the woman. They will rise up. The seventh vision is America destroyed. Am I right? Brother Branham saw the whole land of America, craters everywhere. That's it. Because in the book of Revelation, the two big armies that were fought, they will fight each other, will be the beast, the first beast, and the king of the east. Nothing is mentioned about the second beast. So all that you have is the European beast, the west, and the east. We are seeing all this. We are seeing the power of China rising up very fast, controlling economy. Is that true? Yes. In fact, it is said that their GDP, their financial state is so much far higher than that of America now. You know. So where are we at, my brother and sister? So let us be very watchful and prayerful as to the coming of the Lord, because we want to get out of this world. Isn't that true? We surely do not want to get caught up in all that wrath of God coming upon the whole world. It won't be nice. It certainly won't be nice. May God help us all. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace again. May we have eyes to see, O Lord, the holy word of truth. Looking at your plan, looking at your purpose that you have spoken even before the foundation of the world. For that which you have counseled with yourself, that which you have already, O Lord, brought forth, and you have to complete the whole work. And we know, Lord, we as your children, being a part of the body of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we know, Lord, you keep us from the great day that is to come, the great and terrible day that is to come. You will keep us like as Jesus have said when he sat on Mount Olivet and looking at the city of Jerusalem and cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would gather you under my wing as the mother gather her chicks under her wings. We know that you will keep us, Father, for thou art our covering and our protection, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, Lord. We ask that, Lord, continually that you, each time, Lord, Lord, whatever needs we have, whatever problem we face, we ask, Lord, that your presence be with us to help us and speak that still small voice to us, O Lord. We know trial, temptation will always be there. But Lord, this is to bring us higher, bring us closer to you. And we know that we need to awake Jesus Christ like he was awakened by the disciple when they were out there on the Sea of Galilee and Christ was resting and sleeping, and there was this storm, this tribulation that came upon the disciples in the boat, and they thought Jesus Christ does not care. But when he was awakened and roused up by the disciple Lord, and they realized that Christ did care for them. And we know that Lord, even through storm, though we may be afraid, it is so natural, Lord, that we have to awake Jesus Christ and said to him, Master, don't you care for us? Lord, we want to get near to our Lord and our Savior, Father. That's why we cry unto you when there is a need. And we know, Father in heaven, that Jesus Christ is the only begotten, the apple of your eye. And in him, O Lord, we stand. In him we are birthed. He mothered us and nourished us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us suck on the breast of our Lord and our Savior when we were young. But now we have grown and he has told us to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And the more we drink of the blood of Christ, the everlasting life that flows in that blood, we are so thankful, Lord. And the flesh and the word that we eat daily, Father, it nourishes us. We grow and help us to walk each day, Father, and to eat continually, even as John was told to eat of that little book. Yes, Lord, it is no longer such a big mysterious book, but the little book now, Lord, because now you have revealed yourself to us in all your glory with a message to bring us out from the systems of chaos into the light of God's word. So, Father, we thank you. Bless us even now today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.